Good morning again.
How are you today?
I'm great. I can sit with my new cast. So it runs out.
How you guys doing?
Hi.
Life's good?
Yes.
What are the challenges of, because by the time even The Walking Dead launched, there had been a lag in the time, and so the zombies you were working with had all been decomposing for a bit.
Right.
Now you're dealing with people who are essentially the same ambulatory dead bodies. What are the challenges to you of making it visually interesting?
Well, you know, there are still opportunities and you see it in the pilot, in the first episode, when Dave and I were talking, and I was like, I'd love to do something where there's an implement that's like stabbed into somebody that, like, you could tell that in the middle of them sort of like being bitten or attacked, they were stabbed, and then the person who was stabbed in dies and leaves the knife in. So when we see Gloria in the first episode, she has a knife embedded into her chest with blood all over her. It always tells a story. So I think we did it really successfully in the first season of Walking Dead when Amy dies in Andrea's arms and resurrects, and it was just something beautiful about her, but it was the lifelessness in the eyes. So we use that as kind of our base for walkers, and they're not even called walkers in the show because I don't even know what we call them.
Infected.
That's what we've been going with on set.
Yeah, because I keep saying walkers, I'm like, oh wait.
People like zombies are infected.
And Robert and I had a conversation about the word zombie, and he's like, well, that word doesn't exist in our universe because it's like those movies never were made,
right.
So that word doesn't exist. So you'll never hear them called zombies. But, you know, the challenge was just making sure that we had compelling moments in the show where the walkers sort of not so much of a visual cue as more of a performance kind of thing. So.
Greg, obviously you've been working so much, more directing, helping so, you know, with all the facets of The Walking Dead. So when the kernel of this story started to come together, your participation in it, how much have you been able to do? And has a lot of it grown out of conversations about, oh, you know, if we had ever gotten the chance to do that, what are some of the things that you wanted to add?
Well, we shot the pilot in January when we were on hiatus,
right.
So that helped a lot because I was able to be involved with Dave and Robert and Adam, our director. And it was interesting because my nature as a makeup effects guy, not the producer or the director, but the effects guy, was I would always push. We did a lot of makeup tests just for the first girl, just for Gloria, and I was going a lot more extreme. And Robert and Dave said, oh man, you know, listen, this is a different facet of the world. This is the world where you're sitting in a room and somebody across the room could be infected and you can't make them look too dead because then people would go, that's not right. That doesn't look... So we were constantly sort of dialing the makeups in to just make them subtle enough. So for the pilot, I was there. We actually reshot the last shot of Calvin. You guys all saw it, right? All right, well, I don't want to ruin anything again. But we ended up sort of amping up a few things at the end of the first episode just because we still have a responsibility to our fans to give them some of that.
And it is such an amazing way to end that first episode.
Yeah.
It leaves you like, oh, yes, we are fully in this world. There's no, like...
There's no question.
There's no question what world this is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But sadly, I haven't been up in Vancouver. You know, I sent some of my team that worked on The Walking Dead, and my makeup artist, up to Vancouver so that there was a continuity amongst the two. But, you know, the advantage is that we start shooting in November for season two, somewhere around there. So I'll be done with Walking Dead. I'll be in a coma for a couple days, and then I'll come out of it, and I'll go up to Vancouver and get the opportunity to, like, really be in the trenches with these guys.
Have you and Adam talked a lot about creating kind of either a color palette or a visual distinction between the shows? You know, obviously you've got the Georgia light versus Vancouver light, and, you know, is there some...
Not really. I mean, you know, the nice thing is... Maria Queso, who's our production designer on the pilot, really talented, really talented woman, and the production design is very different, you know. And again, we have Los Angeles as our backdrop, and, you know, one of the great things about Los Angeles is that because it's such a melting pot to begin with, you know, you really get the opportunity to exploit that and to just get a feel of what society is like when it's sort of, it's like an earth, you know, I was using the analogy, it's like an earth, it's like when an earthquake happens and they tell you everything that you're supposed to do and you gotta have your earthquake kit ready and you have that, and then the minute that it happens, nothing's ready, and they say, you know, in the Northridge earthquake, I ran downstairs and flipped the lights on and was like, they're like, you're never supposed to do it. There's like all these things you're not supposed to do. And I just did it because you don't know, you know, you're in the middle of it. So that kind of attitude, you know, I love the Hitchcock analogy of like, you know, the two characters sitting at a table and there's a bomb underneath and they don't know that there's a bomb there, but the audience does.
Yeah.
That's what this whole show is about. This whole show is about the fact that the audience is watching and the audience knows more than the characters do. So you become informed as they do.
They're going to be sitting there going, is that? Well, that's a waste of time.
Right.
Or like, it was obvious. You didn't pick up on, you know, and they're like steps ahead. Which I think is so exciting to sort of be on the edge. The fans are definitely going to be on the edge of the seats. Like, and then there's moments, like the principal moment, it's so genius. Because it feels like something and then it's something else. And like, they're all going to be like, oh, it's happening.
Yeah, it's so well layered. And I couldn't be more excited about how different the shows are. You know, I had like a couple of friends watched it last week, and they had a screening in Los Angeles, and they're actors and they're like super fans that have been on Talking Dead a million times, and they call me the next day, like, oh my god, I love this. But it's so different, and it still has a little bit of the DNA, but it's just really exciting. You know, our characters. You know, Rick Grimes is larger than life, and our characters, you know, they're all based on the comic book. But, you know, the fact that Fear the Walking Dead could be anybody at this table could be one of the people that are affected by the outbreak. So.
Greg, you have the encyclopedic knowledge that you've called on countless times.
I do, you're right.
Walking Dead, you know, a little more modern horror films, if you will. With this show, it seems like you get to kind of delve into your knowledge of, you know, 1940s, 1950s, suspense thrillers and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the movie that Adam and I talked a lot about when we were prepping was Philip Kaufman's Invasion of Body Snatchers. It's such a great sort of, the paranoia starts to build, and, you know, these people are, all of a sudden, they're replaced. Yeah, the suspenseful nature of it. And even the camera angles, you know, where the beginning is shot one way, and then the angles start becoming a little more extreme and unsettling. We talked about that, and that to me, I was like, man, we can make Fear the Walking Dead have the same feeling that Body Snatchers movie did. And we're golden, you know? So, a little more 70s than 50s, but yeah.
Now, in the Walking Dead pilot, interesting is that Andy Lincoln was the only one who was learning the world along with the audience. Now, all of you guys are having to essentially play dumb because you guys know your character's dumb.
I play dumb every single time I play a new character. That's my job, to play that character.
How is it to kind of be working in this world that's just kind of batshit crazy and to have to be learning it as you go?
The world in terms of the production world, or the world that we're playing?
Yeah, I was talking in character.
I think in character, we all get informed at different levels, at different times. And as human beings, we all, as these characters, accept things, can only digest and process things at different moments, even if they all experience the same thing. And so I'm playing a parent, and so for a lot of it, my job is to protect, we're trying to protect them from even seeing whatever it is that we don't understand until we can't. And, you know, gets inquisitive. He, on his own, finds out information. I end up, because I play a nursing student, at some point I end up informed about the reality of our world more than other characters.
Right.
And then we all come together and realize, we're in shit.
I think with Chris, you know, there's more of an innocence towards discovering it because he doesn't know what's going on, and there's this unknown element to it. Like he doesn't even think it could be an infected, you know, walker. He assumes that it's just someone that's sick and that he discovers it through, you know, the episodes of what it really is, and it scares the crap out of him.
And I think using the internet as a tool, I mean, there's a great moment even in the trailer where you see them watching news footage. And
yeah.
For me, I remember when the SARS outbreak, I was in Canada shooting, and people had masks on, and even, you know, the Ebola outbreak. It's like it's forefront in the news for like a week, and then all of a sudden Kim Kardashian does something and no one cares about fucking Ebola anymore.
No.
And you're like, it's still there. Yeah. It's just it does. So I mean, imagine what would happen like in Fear of the Walking Dead. They see this person shooting or get shot on their iPad, and then the next minute it's like, oh, guess what somebody else did, and then that goes away for a minute. It's still happening and it's still actually churning underneath all of that. You know?
Yeah.
There's a cool element, too, of justice versus injustice, because you don't know, is the government for us, is the government against us, are they trying to help us help these people? Like,
you just think that they are the way we always do, that they're going to be taking care of us. And the reality sets in.
It was very dramatic the way you did that.
I did that with this. There was a little bit of this.
Got it. I was like, wait. I was waiting to see what you were going to say next. That was so good.
No, I was doing a little. I do a lot of.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.